Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. It is a beautiful Football Friday as we make the trip on the road as usual. We are here at, as the big voice man said, Raven Tower. Right here in Houston, 310 North Street. Come on out and hang out with us. It's right next to the White Oak Music venue. You can't miss it. Right next door to it, and it's a good spot, man. They got plenty of drinks out here. Some people complain. I ain't got my drink. No, they got it out here. Whatever you need. You need your Bud Light. They got your Bud Light. You need your Coors. They got whatever you need out here. And they got this frozen drink thing. I'm contemplating getting half a glass of that purple haze.
I think it's just one little squeeze,
just
one
a
little
half, just a half a glass. I'm trying to see if anybody would rate it for me, but people aren't participating. But I just thinking about a half a glass. I may just to get a taste.
Yeah, I mean, look.
You don't run into a lot of frozen whiskeys that isn't Jack and Coke.
The fear there is, man. If it's really good, I got a feeling that you're gonna crack, which yeah. I'd be okay with. I it's Friday. Showtime at the Apollo, man. Let's go. There it is. That's not half a glass.
That isn't. But we'll figure. That's close.
Get your little old pool off that. Let me know what
pool,
you think,
man.
Bro.
I will. I will. Let me get us into this.
That's got Ron written all over it.
For a second of it, man. Listen,
purple
the smell of that
haze,
thing.
Frozen drink.
Oh my God, dog!
Can
I
you
read
smell
it. Oh, I smell it, man. It's a beaut, man. It is. It's fantastic.
Get us in this thing. I'll chew up a little oxygen so you can try it.
It is fantastic, though. But get on out here. Not just get us in. Get on out here. Again, coming up after this segment, we'll start hooking people up with some of our prizes. You know we don't come empty-handed on a Football Friday. Got four different Academy Sports and Outdoor gift cards, a free oil change, any type of vehicle out at a Tom Ball Ford, and the big one in the 5 o'clock hour, a pair of future tickets to a Texans game, courtesy of our great friends with the Houston Ford dealers. Clint and the people, as I see people, we always love participation with the people on YouTube and Twitch, as well as the text line. What will this signal to you? If they are able to go out, because I think there is a case, Clint. I think there is a case, Tyler. What will this win, if they're able to beat the Broncos on Sunday, will it signal to you that they are back as a legitimate contender in the AFC? I'm not saying super, but just a contender, and they're back in it in the NFC, because in the AFC, excuse me, because I would say the case would be if they were to win this game.
The arrow's pointed up.
There you go, Cal. They would have been winners of four or five of their last five after starting 0-3. They would have beaten back-to-back first place teams when they played them. The Niners were in first place coming in last week, And then obviously the Broncos are 6-2. And that's one of the best teams in football, the Denver Broncos. And this isn't a Baltimore or 49ers thing, right? They are healthy. This is not a group that maybe one guy in Marvin Mims Jr., we'll check on that a little bit later, is the only one that may be out. But they've got most of their guys. What would this signal to you if they were to win this game?
I think you got to take them serious. I think that's what's on the line here. Is are the Texans going to be a team that you got to take serious this year in the AFC, or is this a team that is kind of just, hey, you got to be careful because they might sneak up and get you here or there, but they're really no threat. That's what this game is about. This is a monster game, man. And you mess around and beat the Denver Broncos. And I'm not so much onto or into what last week meant or didn't mean, but if you beat the Denver Broncos, then, you know, look, I think it's going to take an offensive game versus a really good defense that you at least have your stuff together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if this offense can at least have their stuff together against a really good defense, this football team's going to be hard to beat by anybody. It doesn't matter who it is, right? And if they can solve their communication problems up front, if they can solve their problems of letting the crowded line of scrimmage overwhelm them, if they can solve those problems, then you got to take the Houston Texans serious.
Yep.
That's what's on the line this week for me is because if those are just problems, guys, and I don't care how much you like D'Amico, I don't care how much you like CJ, I don't care how good our defense is, if you can't multiple games in a season, knowing it's what you're going to get, if you can't somehow figure out how to at least slow down the rush and eliminate the A-gap, free runners in the A-gap, and give yourself a puncher's chance, I mean, give yourself a puncher's chance. If you can't do those things, then you can't be taken serious. And that's what's, to me, that's what's on the line right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that you made, that they're taken serious, because I think last week's win was impressive just because you didn't
step
have –
step in the right direction.
It was a step in the right direction, but you didn't have Nico and you didn't have Christian Kirk, and I think that was impressive because your offense led the way,
yeah,
right? And we talked about that last week, and your coaching staff out-coached a really good coaching staff. So I think that was impressive, but this will be the one where you – the actual win where you look up and there's nothing weird attached to it, right? The Ravens, when you look at it on paper, you're like, oh, they beat the Ravens. By the way, they kicked the hell out of the Dolphins, and they look like they are
amazing what one guy can do, right?
They are on their way. Yeah, Derrick Henry looks different out there. Mark Andrews looks different. Anyway, on the surface, you say they beat the Ravens. They look it. But we understand that was a different Ravens ball club, right? And the Titans are the Titans. This would be the first game where you're like, no, you know, Bo Nix is out there. Cortland Sutton's out there. Their offensive line, which is, as John McClain was saying, you should listen to it's the Texans All Access every night. So they're the only team in the league that in a long time that has the most sacks in the league and then gives up the least amount of sacks in the league. So you're facing that offensive line that's really good. Their running game is tied for third in the league, and they've got all their parts. Yes, they've lost Surtain, but I mean that's not like an array of injuries like we've seen with the 49ers and the Ravens. This to me would be the first one where you're like, okay, all right, they can play with that level of team, and then you're thinking on your schedule, they can beat the Jags, they can beat the Chargers, they can beat, you know, some of these teams that are left on their schedule. And I think, as you said, you got to start taking them more serious about playoffs, postseason, if they're able to get themselves to 4-4 and win this game.
Yeah, look, we've got to see this Texans team, the games you talked about with guys being out for the opponent, yada, yada, yada. It doesn't matter. Like, when you look at the Texans offensively, defense is the truth. They're the real deal. If you look at us offensively, if the opponent – has injuries on the D-line or their D-line isn't worth a damn and CJ can set his feet and throw it, we're going to score points. The problem in this league is when you look at most contenders, they've got either a scheme or a group of players that create havoc and chaos around the quarterback and are an absolute problem. That is what we've not yet been able to solve if you're the Texans.
Seattle had that. The Rams had that. Yeah, most of
Jacksonville had it with one guy, really, to be honest with you, even though Walker's coming. You know, it's That's the reality. Forget about
scheme the Bucks had it. Yeah,
yeah. Just forget about the overall. Well, this opponent was injured. That opponent. It comes down to the box for the Texans. If another team has players or scheme that create problems right there next to the quarterback, right there around the line of scrimmage, that has been what sinks our ship. Right, and so if we can either face teams that don't have that or figure out how to give ourselves a puncher's chance when teams do have that, then we can beat anybody in the league.
Yeah.
But that is not, it sounds a lot simpler than it is. You know what I mean? It is a major, major problem. So we'll see, man. This is a week that they can prove that they can do that.
As we said, this conversation, what will this win signal for you? Would this signal to you that the Texans are now back as a legitimate contender in the AFC? From the text line, yes, Ron, because they didn't lose terribly to the good teams that they lost to. I think if you do win this game, it does make maybe the Rams game and the Jacksonville game and the Tampa game maybe feel a little bit like, all right, we got some. Because obviously you've grown from that game, and even when you were at your lowest, you won that game.
Yeah.
And if you lose it, it does it, and then as you just said, if you lose that game, it's like, yep, this is what happens when the Texans play good teams that have their cast.
Yeah. Well,
like,
I mean, look,
that could start to be the trend.
You can keep a lot of folks out of the rearview mirror by beating the Denver Broncos, because they're a really good football team. They're talented. They're coached well. They got great play callers, schemes, all these different things. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no way to minimize it. There's no way to discredit a win versus the Denver Broncos. You got them at home. You got them while they're you know, Patrick Surtain is out, and this is a game you got to go get.
Text line come to, it would signal to me that the Texans are an elite home team, but can't get it done on the road.
Yeah, I just don't believe that. We were talking a little bit in the break. Like I just believe that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio have put a group together that when it comes to those kind of items, I just don't believe they're issues, right? Playing down to your opponent, playing on the road. Sure, you got the noise issue at some places, but I think this organization has separated itself from the bottom by the way that D'Amico and Nick built this thing. Like the culture that we talk about, the shut up and do your job, the blinders, the one play at a time, the all of that stuff, I think helps separate you from the bottom, right? I think it helps separate you from doing things like playing down to your opponent or going on the road and being overwhelmed. I think when it comes down to it, where the Texans are, they're above that, but they've still got to prove that they belong in the conversation with them top dogs.
Tyler, I could do 15 of these purple hazes.
That old haze got him, T.
Oh, God. I'm going to put this little lime in here.
Yeah, man, get some of that lime juice in there, man.
I mean, this could go down right here.
It's got a little whiskey kick to it.
I could take this down.
Is it grape and whiskey?
No, it's got some berry and a little lemonade action in there with the mix. It is like I could just.
Hey boy, you gonna have a blowout in your straw if you ain't careful.
Once I get started, baby. I'm good though. I just had to get a little pull, a little taste of it. That whiskey does come through. That's good. That's real good. Good job out there, guys. Good job. Make your way on out here, and you can get a piece of this. Someone texting, guys, we beat the 49ers because D'Amico knew the 49ers inside and out. Again, if you win this game, a lot of these excuses / explanations will feel different, right? It will feel different. Like, all right, yeah, D'Amico knows the Niners. Okay. He don't know Sean Payton like that. He don't know the Broncos like that. You know, like not to the point where you're like, that's why they won. That's the advantage they have. I mean, also, I would also urge to say that Kyle Shanahan's one of the best coaches in football that knows D'Amico, who was on his staff, and he went against him every day and didn't have anything for him.
Well, I think that's the biggest statement that was made in that 49ers game, is that it was complete and total domination over one of the best offensive coordinators out there. You can talk about being shorthanded, yada, 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 but that's still a guy that can scheme up some things, draw up some things, especially versus a defensive coordinator that he literally gave the opportunity and was in his system for multiple years. And so, you know, I don't know. I think the statement there is the job that DeMeco – the offense was great, don't get me wrong, but I think the statement is the job DeMeco did with Kyle Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey on the other side. That was special. That was big. That was – That team right there is going to cause some problems for a lot of folks, and DeMeco had them all bottled up.
By the way, Clinton Tyler, we lost Scott Woodard.
I saw that.
Ain't that a damn, man? I mean, in about two or three days, Stephen A. did it first, and then the governor of Louisiana, old Landry, he then went and nailed it. And now, Scott Woodard, the athletic director, he is out at LSU. And by the way, he has done some good things. Like, he brought Kim Mulkey there, and they won a national championship in women's basketball. The baseball coaching program has been good, and he brought the coach in there. He has done some good things. They just blew this Brian Kelly hire and the Jimbo Fisher one before it. But, damn, they got his ass out there. I wonder how excited coaches and people are going to be there thinking, like, man, hey, if the governor don't fall out of me, does he have enough power to go ahead and get rid of my ass? Because that, I don't know that I've quite seen governor speak and then bam, you know, decisions made on the athletic director or coaches or anything like that. That was interesting.
I don't remember all of the details, but this isn't the first time. Now, this is the first time that he's been this aggressive, but this isn't the first time that the governor of Louisiana got involved at LSU.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's ever hired or fired anybody, and I know he's never been this vocal, but I remember the conversations recently, if I remember correctly, about maybe it was when Brian Kelly got hired, but the oddity of the governor being in the state being more involved there than most state colleges. It's not as crazy in that neck of the woods as one might believe. It's generally speaking, it is, but I think that has been that has gone on before to some degree.
Interesting. Well, they got him on out of there, and LSU going to be looking for a new coach. All right, coming up, we've talked a lot about the Texans having to deal with this pass rush and this defense and the front line for the Broncos, because it's the best pass rush in football. But Bo Nix and Sean Payton got to deal with this defense and the Texans defense, which is the number one defense in football. And Clint, in your thoughts of football, offensive football, the way that Matt...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Burke and DeMeco Ryan should approach this game versus Denver. Let's discuss that. Let's look into what Denver's going to have to deal with this defense and what DeMeco and Matt Burke have to look at and how they should approach this game. We'll discuss that next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, as we are live here, and if you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see, boy, we got Texans fans royalty.
Yeah,
the commission's in the building. There's Debbie in the building as well.
Yes, indeed.
I see them all over the place. Yeah, they're getting ready. They're going to be out there Sunday. You could be out there Sunday too. You got a chance to win. You got a chance to win some future tickets. You got a chance to win some future tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour right here at Ravens Tower. Come on out, make your way out here and join the fun. It's a party right here, baby. See these texts. Yeah. There you go. As they come out, and we do this each and every Friday, and have a good time getting you ready for this big game. Texans, Broncos coming up, Clint. And I think we've given a lot of talk, and I feel like some people have been annoyed. But I feel like we've given a lot of talk.
We have a tendency to do that.
To this Broncos defense that the Texans are going to have to deal with. But Bo Nix, Sean Payton, I promise they haven't been sleeping and being comfortable with what they've got to deal with. They got to deal with the number one defense. They got to deal with the number one scoring defense. They got to deal with Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Derek Stingley. They got to deal with that crew, Aziz and EJ Speed, who's playing better. They got a Petrie. They got to deal with that crew coming up. And as we said, we're looking at it. DeMeco and Matt Burke have weapons, and they have a lot of weapons to use. And, Clint, we have seen the Denver Broncos have games where their offense has struggled. And not just having them in multiple quarters. The Giants game, Clint, they were shut out for the first three quarters against the Giants. The Jets game, they scored 13 points and struggled and almost lost to the Jets. Now the Dallas Cowboys will fix anybody as they gave up 44. Now, this offense is capable of scoring 33 points in a quarter like they did against the Giants. But in your opinion, when you look at what DeMeco and Matt Burke have at their disposal, how would you attack? And you've worked with Sean Payton. I know when you're the Cowboys, Sean Payton was there with you as well. You know Sean a little bit and know his style. How would you approach this defensively in a game where I'm certain the Texans feel like, we can handle these guys? Yeah.
Well, I think schematically, and when you're talking all 11, I think it's got to be on the conservative side. I think
– Really? Yeah, see, I was thinking be aggressive.
Well, I mean, you just – you mess around. I mean, we can start layer to layer, right? I mean, Sean Payton is going to have multiple shots dialed up for your defense. Whoever the duck is, and I don't know who that is, but whoever it is, he's going to have shots dialed up. And, I mean, Sean was the first guy, and maybe this was the era of football or whatever, but Sean was the first guy that I'd ever seen that would dial up a shot on a cover two safety, right? Most people see cover two, and we're going to get this thing, we're going to check this thing down, we're going to run it, we're going to get work the middle of the field, we're going to be in front of the safeties. Sean's got plays that he dials up that are staples in his offense that are designed to throw the ball over the top of a cover two safety, right? I mean, this guy is elite in an elite world in a sense of drawing up shots. I think this has got to be a very vanilla approach in terms of what all you throw at the Texans. Really? I think if you make it a habit of rushing, if you're not disciplined in your rush lanes and your rush points and you run by Bo Nix, you're going to have a problem. I think if you start giving away man and showing man and trying to pressure and getting guys out of whack, I think Bo and Sean are going to make you pay in a major way. So I think this is a let the dogs eat up front. Let them do your front seven, your front six, if you want to call it that, in a spread game. Your front six can handle the run. Your front six can squeeze and make the press the pocket, if you will, and create chaos around the quarterback. But you don't want to get into a trying to tackle Harvey one-on-one in the open field. Because Sean's going to have plays dialed up where he's going to get Harvey in the open field one-on-one with defensive backs, and they're going to have to come up and tackle. You want to try to play the keep everything in front of you game. If you're me, I mean, because look, if they start running the football, if they start hitting shots on you, you're gonna have a hard time keeping up because this offense can get in a rhythm. I think it's forced all of these guys, kind of like what San Francisco we were just talking about in the break, what San Francisco did to Houston last year, forced these guys to go 15 or 16 plays.
See, I was thinking, and my thought was, hey, this is a game that's probably going to be low scoring, and this is a game to me that your offense may need a little help. Maybe a little help in field position, maybe a little help somewhere. And do you maybe at the very least pick your spots to get aggressive to try to turn the ball over? I think you can get Bo Nix to throw interceptions. We've seen that a little bit. You can turn them over and get aggressive to do that. Because I do think they're in this game, the defense is going to need to help them at some point because I think Denver's defense is going to be really, really good and going to be a really big issue for them.
Look, I think they're good enough up front to stop the run and go get the passer without having to take a ton of risk in doing that, right? If the game dictates, you got to go take a bunch of risks and you got to do it. But, you know, the way I see it is you know, you got to – because Bo will be inaccurate. Sean will, you know, as we've heard and as I know, I mean, Sean will, for the sake of being creative and making you defend sideline to sideline, Sean will get out of whatever's working. If they're running the hell out of the football, he'll raise up and throw a screen to the sideline. And you're just like, why would you waste that down on first down? And all of a sudden, now there's a method to the madness, as I've said before. But Sean will do those things. And you got to take advantage of them. But I know the one thing to me that was most impressive about Sean Payton was he's got answers, man. Now, whether Bo can execute it or not, or whether the defense can create enough havoc to make it impossible to execute, Sean's going to have answers for everything that DeMeco has put on tape. You better believe it. And a lot of the answers are going to be vertical answers. You know, you look at like the Seattle Seahawks on that first drive when they took advantage of Derek Stingley Jr. with that tight end. Derek got his eyes in the backfield, boom. It wasn't just throwing something out in the flats or a screen. It was throwing it over the top of his head for a chunk play, right? I mean, the amount of vertical answers that Sean Payton has is really impressive.
Yeah, we'll see what answers he has for those two guys off the edge. Because they, I mean, obviously we know Hunter and Will Anderson could just absolutely wreck and ruin a game. And you talked about it earlier in the week. You believe Sean will have some kind of answer for that. And to be honest, and now I'm looking at it as you're saying it right now, they faced a really good pass rush in the Giants, right? The Giants got Burns and they've got Thibodeau and they've got Lawrence in the middle and they've got
who's a kid they drafted?
Carter. They've got pass rushers, and Bo Nix did run a lot in that game, and they were able to use that a bit against them. So I'm with you on that. He will have a plan for Hunter and Will Anderson, but sometimes, as we've watched, most teams have a plan for them, and it doesn't matter. They go out and still dominate anyway. But I'm with you. They got to stop the run. And they've got to help themselves by stopping the run, but I don't know, man. If they can get themselves to cause turnovers in there, force a turnover, I think that'll be big for this offense.
Well, the fear too with Denver is they're pretty good up front, offensively.
Oh yeah, 8 sacks
on the edges, they're pretty damn good, and so. You know, they're going to feel comfortable rolling the dice of their good on our good, which is Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, you know, with Bowles and McGlinchey, I believe it is. I mean, that's going to be some great football to watch, even if you don't have a dog in the fight. But the point is Sean's going to dial up some stuff knowing that he can – or not knowing, but thinking that he can put those guys on an island and buy enough time for Bo Nix to go make plays. And we'll see if they can do it. It's going to be fun, man.
What we got coming up is our Saturday slate, baby.
With college football, huh?
College football, another big weekend in college football. Let's look at the big games of the week. You can text yours in, 713-572-4610. What are your big games of the week? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And there we go. We got some people coming out on a good Friday out here. I know y'all gonna be trick-or-treating a little bit, but why don't you get you some drinks out here? Why don't you come out here and get you a few drinks before you have to get out there with them kids? Again, like, hey, man, we start getting into you got a teen in your number. Maybe you should think about maybe backing off that trick or treat. I tell you, every year it's those ones. I could see them on that ring camera that just take all of our candy and just put it all in their basket. Sometimes they steal our basket. All right. It's always y'all. Maybe y'all need to go and have somebody have a party at somebody's house and hang out and do that. I really do. I believe, for me, I'm going to tell my son, hey, baby, you're 11. Baby, you got two more good ones in you. I don't know if 13, man. I don't know if you're going to go be trick or treat. I just we got to do a little something different. Maybe you can go as a helper. Go as a helper to your
maybe
your
you
younger
can take
sister.
Care of the baby.
Yeah,
that's right.
Helpers. Maybe you could be in the house and hand out the candy. Because by the way, those people have taken us handing out candy away from us. We've stopped. We've quit handing out candy because we keep having incidents with people at our door with the candy. So we've just stopped.
Yeah, you know, I blame it on the parents.
I do too.
I mean, I blame it on the parents. I mean, if you're letting your teenagers, you know, 13s and up, walk the streets and take a bunch of candy and roam around with a bunch of 3, 4, 5 year olds that are having, you know, walking around with their parents. Yeah, and then you're not doing it in a cordial fashion. You're not doing it in a respectful manner. You're out there and your kids are out there stealing stuff and vandalizing stuff. I think you failed as a parent, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, pals. No, you can trick or treat until you're 18 for sure. I just disagree with it.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I mean, you go to a little high school costume party or something.
That's what I'm saying, right? Did somebody?
See if you can't trick or treat, how about that?
Play a little hide and go. Play a little hide and go get it. Yeah,
that's right. That's right, man. What are we doing, man? Yeah, it just more times than not, man. Them kids that are a little older, a little bigger, they're out there ruining stuff. They're out there ruining stuff. They ain't out there to celebrate Halloween or enjoy Halloween. They're out there ruining stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'll be the one to do it. Yeah, we'll throw a little Halloween party out here. Trey will host it. And have you some music?
A little music, smoke in the garage, a little smoke machine in the garage, a little music in the garage.
Have a good time, man.
There you go.
There you go. Enjoy it. Hand out some candy.
Get them off the streets.
Have some pops. Like, you know, like real pops. They're not the purple haze, but some real pops. You know, do the thing. All right, Tyler.
Soda pops, I think is what he's talking about.
Tyler, hit me with that music.
Hey, look out now.
There it is. All right, our Saturday slate, baby. I know it is a football Friday, but that also means a little college football as well. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can send in what games are your games of the week. Which games are you paying attention to the most? Are you watching? There's some interesting games. What was supposed to be this week's, and it felt like a lot of people cleared things out, what was supposed to be maybe the biggest game of the year this week, maybe one against two, is Ohio State and Penn State. A lot of people thought that was going to be a huge game because many people thought those would be top three, top four teams. Well, Penn State has since fired their coach, lost to UCLA, lost to Northwestern, and are now unranked. But that's a big one. Another big one in the SEC, Vandy, number 9 Vandy, who had a big win against Missouri last week at home. They go to Austin to face Texas. Do we know if Arch Manning is playing in that? I know that was up in the air all week with Sark. Obviously, that'll make a big difference in that game. Number 18, Oklahoma, will go to Knoxville to play. Number 14, Tennessee. A surprising Cincinnati team that got beat by Nebraska week one, but has looked really, really good offensively. They're number 17 traveling to Utah to go play the Utes, and then Miami at your old guy Rich. Oh, what's my man's name? Over SMU.
Rhett Lashley.
Yeah, Rhett. I was gonna call him Rich. Rhett. What is his name? What?
Rhett Lashley.
Yeah, Rhett. Yeah, Rhett Lashley. SMU in Dallas. They got to take on the Miami Hurricanes coming up on Saturday as well. What is your game of the week? By the way, Arch Manning, game time decision still hasn't been decided. We'll see. I don't know, man. He looked pretty rough in that overtime period once he got hit against Mississippi State. But what's your game of the week?
Well, look, there's nothing about Arch Manning's play this year that says, yeah, let's miss a week of practice and then see if we can't go in arguably the biggest game of the year versus number 9 Vandy. This is my game. This is my game. I think there's so many storylines with this game that it's must-see TV. I think Arch Manning, obviously, does he play, does he not play? And that storyline goes beyond does he play or does he not play. You look at his backup. If his backup came in last week and won the game, Does the backup play better? Does the backup show some kind of stability offensively and allow this team to move the football and be more efficient than they were? What does that mean when Arch Manning comes back for Steve Sarkisian? Does he have a tough decision to make? I think also staying on the Texas side of this game right here, they're sitting at number 20 right now with two losses. You lose this game, you're done. The college football playoffs, they're not a thing this year. In a year that it was really hyped that you would be one of the top teams. And then there's the dynamic of you losing at home in the SEC to Vanderbilt. And I know Vanderbilt's a really good football team. They're a top 10 football team.
You don't think that's different anymore for Texas?
No, what?
Like the people will look down on you for losing to Vandy.
Absolutely,
at home?
Absolutely. I still think Vandy is Vandy, and right now, if Texas, if the university,
the top 10.
I get it. I'm not disrespecting by any means. I think across the football landscape, the University of Texas losing to Vandy is going to be a hard one to live down. Period. Not to mention, it comes at the expense of a college football playoff appearance. Not to mention that you haven't even got to the biggest game of the year, which is going to be versus Texas A&M later in the season. So, yeah, look, I don't necessarily agree with it, but it is what it is. Texas losing to Vandy is a non-negotiable in most Longhorns' eyes, I would imagine. Now, you flip that thing, the storyline behind Vandy is they got a chance to get into the college football playoffs if they can run the table. Now, they also have a chance to have a Heisman Trophy quarterback candidate at the quarterback position. He's already stated as much that he believes he's the best in the country and should be in the hunt.
He struck a Heisman polls last week.
He struck that joker, and when he was asked about it, they said, "Do you really believe?" He said, "Hell yeah, I believe it." What do you mean? Yeah, I believe it. Now, you go on the road to Texas, and you play a big game. You knock off the Longhorns, and your team goes above number 9, and it's one more rung on the ladder of proving that Vandy is for real, then I think you'd absolutely have a quarterback that's going to New York if they play big this weekend.
They would have beaten LSU, Missouri, and Texas, all ranked teams in a row, with one loss against Alabama in a game that they played pretty good in that game.
Yeah, man. So that is a the storylines in this game are just there's too many not to enjoy and not to tune in.
Yeah, my game of the week is this feels like maybe a potential upset brewing in Dallas. Rhett Lashley, who we'll see if SMU can hold on to him. They did make it to the college football playoff their first year joining the ACC, but I am not sure if they're going to be able to hold on to their coach with all of these openings you're looking at. Arkansas's got to be eyeing him amongst other teams. But they're 5-3, a little bit of a disappointment. They came into the season ranked. They're unranked right now. I just still haven't been really impressed with Miami. And then when you look at a lot of Miami's wins, they've got wins and played teams that were ranked. They probably played 4 ranked teams this year. A lot of those teams are looking a lot different now. Florida State feels and looks a lot different now. South Florida feels and looks a little bit different when they played them earlier this year. All right, Notre Dame is still looking pretty good. Florida, they fired their coach since, and that was one of their bitter wins. And they were down early to Stanford at home last week. And so, listen, Carson Beck has been one of the stories of the college football season early, especially with that first game and that first weekend against Notre Dame. I think Miami is most definitely on upset alert with SMU on Saturday, the way they've been playing lately. I'm not calling it, but I think this is a game that feels like one of those, which will be November games where you could see an upset here with Miami.
I think it's very real, and I agree with you, Ron. Depending on what happens the rest of the season, Rhett Lashley could very easily be atop the list of coach candidates, head coaching candidates for Arkansas for sure, being that's where he went to school, it's where he's from. So, yeah, you go win this game, it'll go a long way towards that. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting one to watch. As some people saying, mine would be A&M, but they're off this week. Yeah, they are. They do.
I tell you, it's a hell of a deal for A&M, man. I did not realize as you look through the schedule.
Do they have multiple bye weeks? I felt like they already had one.
Tyler would know.
Second.
This is their second one? I thought so, yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's yeah, I mean, this a late bye week at this point for them with that, with what they've been doing. Whew, that's nice.
Yeah.
Does everybody have two bye weeks now?
I know,
I mean,
those,
surely one team.
I know that, those teams that play, definitely that play in the week zero game, I think they get a second bye week. I'm not sure. I got A&M slid into there, baby. All I can say is that maroon money, man. That's what it is. Pay for that bye week, baby. Do they think? All right, what you got coming up in the four?
Well, look, this is a monster week for a few Texans players not named C.J. Stroud. There's three guys outside of C.J. Stroud that just, for the Texans to compete this week, they've got to have big weeks. And it's that cut and dry. I'll tell you who those players are. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.